This episode is brought to you by Armoire, a clothing rental platform that makes getting dressed easy. With a membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended specifically for you. Just take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The clothes show up at your door in as little as 2 days, and when you're ready for something new, you can swap them out for more styles. Armoire is great if your body is changing, whether you're going through eating disorder recovery, giving up dieting, or experiencing other body changes like pregnancy, hormonal shifts, or anything else. I've been dealing with some of those changes myself lately, and I'm so glad I got to try Armoire. I rented a bunch of great dresses and didn't have to worry about buying things that might not fit in a few months. I can just swap them out for the next size or style. This is also the only clothing rental service I've seen that lets you keep your current box until the new one arrives, so you're never without something cute to wear. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/psych. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/psych to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. This episode of Food Psych is brought to you by my Intuitive Eating Fundamentals online course. If you're ready to break free from diet culture and reclaim the life it stole from you, learn more and sign up at christyharrison.com/course. That's christyharrison.com/course. Welcome to Food Psych, a podcast dedicated to critiquing diet and wellness culture and answering your questions about intuitive eating and the anti-diet approach. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and I'm a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, journalist, and author of the books Anti-Diet, which is available now, and The Wellness Trap, which will be out in early 2023. And by the way, on this show, I avoid saying diet culture stuff like weight and calorie numbers, but we don't censor swear words or other adult language, so listener discretion is advised. Hey there, welcome to this episode of Food Psych. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and today I'm going to answer an audience question about whether you really need a quote-unquote hormone-balancing diet to deal with hormonal changes. The person who asked the question is going through these shifts in midlife, but my answer really applies no matter when you might be experiencing hormonal changes. And with wellness culture's constant pushing of diets for this issue, I think it's important to address what the science really says and doesn't say. Before I answer, a few quick announcements. This episode is brought to you by Uncommon Goods. If you want to avoid boring, basic, and bland gifts this year, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you're shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want. I think I mentioned before that I found a great gift for my husband on their site, and I'm not going to say what it is in case he listens to this, but it's made by an independent artist and it has a lot of significance for us, so I think he's really going to love it. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/foodpsych. That's uncommongoods.com/FOODPSYCH for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. This episode is also brought to you by my second book, The Wellness Trap: Break Free from Diet Culture, Disinformation, and Dubious Diagnoses, and Find Your True Well-Being, which is available for pre-order now. This book is deeply personal to me as someone with a host of chronic health conditions that wellness culture constantly pushes me to fix with food, supplements, and various alternative practices that I've come to realize are at best unproven and often downright dangerous. Wellness treatments are often framed as being gentler and more effective at getting to the so-called root cause of people's symptoms than conventional medicine. But as the book reveals, wellness practices often cause more damage than the conventional approaches they're meant to replace. From the lack of pre-market safety testing on herbal and dietary supplements, to the unfounded claims made by many wellness influencers and functional medicine providers, to the social media algorithms driving users down rabbit holes of wellness myths and disinformation, it can often feel like no one is looking out for us in the face of the $4.4 trillion global wellness industry. My hope with The Wellness Trap is to illuminate the damage wellness culture is causing and to explore how we can reimagine our collective relationship with well-being for the better. If any of that sounds interesting to you, I'd love it if you pre-ordered the book. Just go to christyharrison.com/thewellnesstrap to learn more and pre-order for its April 2023 release. That's christyharrison.com/thewellnesstrap or ask for it at your favorite independent bookstore. Now, without any further ado, let's get into this week's question. It's from Tracy F., who writes, I'm wondering about hormonal issues and intuitive eating. I've been trying to eat intuitively for the last few months, and currently I'm 47 and dealing with migraines, heavy and erratic periods, along with bloating and hot flashes. I have a history of exercise addiction and orthorexia, but I've worked through a lot of that in therapy. My gynecologist suggests progesterone-only pills, but I don't want any more pills. I've already been on and off the pill too many times. The quote-unquote answer out in the world now seems to be that in order to balance my hormones, I must eat all whole foods and exercise moderately. I'm wondering about the data to support hormones and diet playing a role. I want to be able to listen to my body and eat what feels good and not have to adhere to any strict rules. Is this just the wellness world creating more dogma around hormonal health? I'm so confused and not even sure what to do anymore. Please help. Do I really need to stop gluten and dairy and sugar in order to regulate my hormones? Signed, Confused and Hormonal. Thanks. So thanks, Tracy, aka Confused and Hormonal, for that great question. And before I answer, I'll just give my standard disclaimer that these answers and this podcast in general are for informational and educational purposes only, aren't a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice, and don't constitute a provider-patient relationship. Also, this is just my take as one dietitian and journalist, and I hope you'll seek out other perspectives and consult your own inner compass as well. First, I just want to say I'm so sorry you're going through this, Tracy. You know, hormonal ups and downs are no joke. They're really rough, and diet and wellness culture really only add insult to injury by making these issues out to be your fault or entirely within your control if you make the quote-unquote right food and movement choices, which is really not the case, as we'll discuss. So from the symptoms you describe and your age, it sounds to me like you're going through what's called perimenopause, aka the menopausal transition, which is the time in midlife leading up to the cessation of your menstrual cycle. Perimenopause usually begins between the ages of 45 and 55, though for some people it can start much earlier, and it tends to last for about 7 years, though it can be up to 14 years for some people. And during this time, your body's production of estrogen and progesterone can swing around wildly, which leads to symptoms like irregular and heavier periods, hot flashes, bloating, migraines in people who are susceptible, and more. The good news is that this is an absolutely natural part of the aging process for people with ovaries. Fellow anti-diet dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor Erica Leon calls it the second puberty. And we'll link to an episode with her in the show notes where she talks more about this midlife transition. Going through the menopausal transition doesn't mean that anything is wrong with you, or that you need to cut out foods in order to quote unquote balance your hormones, because as we'll talk about in just a moment, there really isn't any good evidence to support that claim. And I guess that's kind of the bad news too, because perimenopause symptoms can be really uncomfortable and it's understandable to want to do something to make them go away, especially in this culture that's so uncomfortable with aging, right? The idea that you can stop the symptoms by eating and exercising a certain way is incredibly appealing. So, you know, even though it's not true, I can understand why it pulls people in. Take the gluten myth, for example. To date, there's no sound scientific evidence that cutting out gluten has any benefit for people in and around menopause or for hormone health in general, unless they also have celiac disease, which, as I've discussed here before, is a genetic condition that causes a serious autoimmune reaction to gluten. And that condition, celiac disease, affects no more than 1% of the population. So if you don't have celiac disease, there's really no reason to avoid gluten in perimenopause or any other time. And I know that might sound kind of wild in this culture that, you know, demonizes gluten. And people do talk about, and there's even research about something called non-celiac gluten sensitivity. But as I discuss in my first book, Anti-Diet, there's compelling evidence that so-called non-celiac gluten sensitivity probably isn't related to gluten at all. And in fact, maybe more related to the placebo or nocebo effect around gluten. So you can check out Anti-Diet for more on that. Similarly, as for dairy and sugar, I've never seen any good peer-reviewed scientific evidence to suggest that either of those food groups exacerbate perimenopause symptoms. If anything, it's possible that consuming some dairy products may be helpful at warding off early menopause, actually. There's research to that effect that we'll link to in the show notes. And it also may be helpful at preventing osteoporosis after menopause, though that's also not a mandate to eat any more dairy than brings you pleasure, right? With intuitive eating, satisfaction and pleasure need to be taken into account, even when thinking about the nutritional benefits of particular foods. And of course, what also needs to be taken into account is your budget, your ability to access certain foods, and that's very much a reality for people as well. So for those listening with non-menopause-related hormonal issues, the research generally doesn't support restrictive diets either. Take Hashimoto's thyroiditis, for example, which is the most common cause of hypothyroidism and one of several chronic conditions that I have. The diet and wellness culture recommendations for Hashimoto's usually entail going gluten and dairy free, but I've been diving deep into the literature in this area for years, and I've never seen any good evidence to support cutting out these food groups for thyroid function unless you also have celiac disease, in which case avoiding gluten is really important for self-care and avoiding complications, including hormonal ones. So people who recommend cutting out gluten for Hashimoto's are generally just extrapolating from the research on the celiac disease population, which of course is totally inapplicable to the 99%+ of the population without the disease. Not only is avoiding gluten and dairy unnecessary for the vast majority of people with Hashimoto's, but there are some case reports that even suggest it could be harmful, since gluten-containing products and dairy are important sources of iodine, which is essential for thyroid health. And another thing that's essential, by the way, is taking your thyroid meds daily as prescribed. And that's not even to mention the harms of the disordered eating that's often triggered by unnecessarily avoiding foods. So restricting and engaging in other disordered behaviors can exacerbate existing thyroid problems and even potentially trigger new ones, which is the exact opposite of what so-called thyroid health diets promise. And sadly, it's an all too common experience in this era of wellness culture that I see all the time with clients and members of my audience. Now, what about PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is another hormonal condition that affects millions of people? Well, in previous episodes of the podcast, we've talked about how the common advice to cut carbs and lose weight for PCOS management can actually worsen symptoms. Instead, avoiding weight cycling and getting out of the restrict binge cycle, plus potentially supplementing a few key nutrients, although supplements are certainly a minefield in and of themselves, may be far more helpful than dieting for people with PCOS. A third common hormonal condition called hypothalamic amenorrhea, or HA, is directly related to disordered eating, actually. So when you eat too little and exercise too much for your particular body, no matter what size your body is, your brain senses famine, basically, and shuts down menstruation to conserve energy, regardless of whether you think you're eating enough or not, right? So I've discussed before that hypothalamic amenorrhea is a wildly underrecognized cause of period problems, including irregular and missing periods. And the solution is really to stop the restriction and reduce physical activity in order to help your body and your brain understand that they're not in a famine and that your period can resume, right? Rather than further restricting your eating, which of course only makes the problem worse. So getting back to your question, Tracy, I think your intuition to just listen to your body and not follow any strict rules is really spot on. Of course, I'm an intuitive eating counselor, so that's very much, you know, what I would recommend for everyone. But in most cases, the advice to cut out foods for supposed hormonal balance is really just wellness culture doing its thing, spreading misinformation in order to whip up fear and thereby create demands for products and content. So in my view, you do well to avoid that and instead continue working on your recovery from orthorexia and compulsive exercise, which will not only help with hormonal balance, but also with overall well-being, including helping to prevent some of the complications that can come along with perimenopause, like reduced bone density and osteoporosis. If you're looking for additional support around intuitive eating during menopause, I definitely recommend checking out my interview with Erica Leon and perhaps looking into her groups and courses for people in the same boat. One other thing I think could be helpful to explore is your resistance to taking medication. You say that your gynecologist suggested progesterone-only pills, but that you don't want to go on the pill again. And I'm wondering if you can try to dig deeper about why that is. For example, do you have a fear of weight gain from the pill? That is a common thing among people who are struggling with or recovering from eating disorders. Or does part of you feel like you, quote unquote, should be able to manage your symptoms without medication and that you'd be somehow bad or weak if you took it? That's a common message that people get from wellness culture. And if those or other diet and wellness culture beliefs are coming up for you, I'd invite you to work with your therapist on unpacking and challenging them, if only to help deepen and strengthen your recovery. Of course, you don't have to take any medication you're not comfortable with. And as I've said before, I'm no fan of the pharmaceutical industry, especially their role in promoting weight loss drugs, though I am grateful for their role in producing COVID vaccines so quickly and for the thyroid meds that keep me alive and functioning. So, you know. Nuance. But it's also not clear to me that a progesterone-only pill would necessarily help with all the symptoms you're experiencing, but it might be worth talking more with your doctor about your options. There's some evidence that low-dose estrogen replacement could potentially be helpful with migraines and perimenopause, for example, which is really contrary to the conventional wisdom that estrogens should always be avoided in people with migraines. I was actually surprised to find that because I also get migraines and was also told at one point to avoid pills with estrogen. But in fact, in perimenopause, that can be the reverse, actually. So we'll link to that evidence in the show notes again. But all that is to say, you know, it could be useful just to have some idea from your doctor of what your medication options might be if and when you need help managing your symptoms. Above all, I would say please just remember that what you're going through is very common and a really natural part of the aging process, and that trying to restrict your eating or lose weight during this time is only liable to backfire. Thanks again, Tracy, for that great question, and I hope it helps you navigate the hormonal roller coaster with more self-compassion and less self-blame. To submit your own question for a chance to have it answered, either here or in my Food Psych Weekly newsletter, just go to christyharrison.com/questions. That is our show. I want to thank you so much for listening. And if you found this podcast helpful, I'd be so grateful if you take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. You can see all the places to subscribe at christyharrison.com/subscribe. That's christyharrison.com/subscribe. This episode was brought to you by my second book, The Wellness Trap: Break Free from Diet Culture, Disinformation, and Dubious Diagnoses, and Find Your True Well-Being, which is available for pre-order now. Just go to christyharrison.com/thewellnesstrap to learn more and pre-order it for its April 2023 release. That's christyharrison.com/thewellnesstrap. If you're looking for help healing your own relationship with food, grab my free audio guide, 7 Simple Strategies for Finding Peace and Freedom with Food. Just go to christyharrison.com/strategies to get it. That's christyharrison.com/strategies. To get full show notes and a transcript of this episode, go to christyharrison.com/299. And to get the transcript, just scroll down to the bottom of the page and enter your email address. A big thanks, as always, to our editor and sound engineer, Mike Lalonde, community and content associate, Vinci Chui, and administrative assistant, Julianne Watasik, for helping me out with all the moving parts that go into producing this show each week. Our album art was photographed by Abby Moore Photography, and the logo was designed by Melissa Alam. Our theme song was written and performed by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs, and I'm your host and producer, Christy Harrison. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, stay psyched.